Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, we have been last Wednesday night, we started a just kind of a mini-series, really, out of Isaiah, out of really one verse that Isaiah gives us in regards to the prophecy of the coming Messiah. Of course, this being the Christmas season, there's a lot going on, a lot being said about Christ around this time of year, and grateful to God for a lot of it. Some of the stuff that's being said is not true, of course, but grateful indeed that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ like no other. We have a God in Jesus Christ like no other. And indeed, He stands alone in regards of redemption. And He is the only Savior that this world needs. If they would only turn to Him and Him alone, they would find what they're looking for. Can't find it in any other thing. You'll find it in Jesus. So Isaiah chapter 9, and please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse number 6. We'll read verse number 6, and then we'll actually tonight be looking at several passages of Scripture as we preach on Christ, the compassionate counselor. Christ, the compassionate counselor. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet Isaiah writes, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name," now Isaiah is given a vision of God, and he's going to tell him what the name that this Christ child, this Savior of the world, this Messiah that Israel had longed for 4,000 years, this Messiah will be called, notice now, Wonderful. We talked about that last week, but then notice the second title, Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and those five titles, it really encompasses who Jesus Christ is and what He came to do. And tonight we'll look at that second title of our Lord, Counselor. Christ, the Compassionate Counselor. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we bow indeed saying we love You tonight. And we pray, God, Your Holy Spirit, as already has been prayed, that He will have free reign in our midst tonight, that He will lead, guide, and direct. God, that He'll have total control of this service. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah, writing some 900 years before Jesus Christ would even come to this earth, he's writing about this Christ child. He's writing about this baby that would be born in Bethlehem's manger. As we looked at last Wednesday night, when he says, "For unto us a child is born," that's speaking of his humanity. We talked about that Jesus Christ was 100% man, but also, it tells us, a son is given. So he's 100% man, a child is born, 100% God, and that a son is given. That's why John wrote in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Jesus Christ was already God eternal before he came to this world and confined himself to the womb of a virgin girl and was born of that virgin girl. Jesus Christ was already God. And that's what this prophecy is going to tell us about. Now, as a counselor, if you look up the simple definition of counselor, it really gives us a couple of thoughts. It speaks of one who gives counsel, an advisor. A second definition would be like an attorney, someone who represents or someone who speaks for you in a court of law. So that's just two simple definitions, and we'll use those to kind of run on. We'll use those as kind of a track to run on. But looking at these verses of Scripture, what do we know about Christ as a compassionate counselor? If a counselor is one who gives advice, if a counselor is one who represents in a court of law, what is Jesus Christ? How does that go with Christ the Lord? Well, there's a couple of things we'll show you. First of all, notice that He, Christ, is an empathetic counselor. Not a sympathetic, an empathetic counselor. Now you say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, hold your place and turn with me. You don't have to hold your place there because we don't necessarily come back to that text. So turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Go to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll look at a few verses of Scripture here tonight. Let me get a couple thoughts here. Hebrews chapter 4, let me get there. And if you found Hebrews chapter 4, we'll also in a moment look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. So Hebrews chapter 4, then comes the book of James, then comes the book of 1 Peter. So Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 14. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, did you find it? All right, you guys are there? Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Now, as I've said to you many, many times, one of the key things about reading your Bible and studying your Bible is to understand the cultural context, the context to which we find it. Of course, this letter would have been written with the thought of the Jewish people in mind. Of course, we understand it as Gentile. But to a Jew, when they would have heard these words, seeing we, now in verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, their mind would have automatically focused on the priest, the earthly priest, and how every year the high priest would have to go into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people. And that would be a temporary payment, a temporary covering. And now the writer of Hebrews, perhaps Paul, he writes and says, wait a minute, now we have a high priest, not here, he's there. We have a high priest that's passed into the heavens. And the Bible says, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Look at verse 15. This is where we get this empathetic counselor. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We said that Christ is an empathetic counselor. Why is it? Well, what does the word empathy mean? It means the ability to understand and share another person's experiences and emotions. The ability to experience it. The ability to share. The sympathy simply means feeling that you care about someone. But when you express empathy, it literally means that you feel their pain. You feel their emotion. You sense it. So when it comes to Jesus Christ, he's a very empathetic counselor. The Bible tells us he was touched, look at verse 6:15. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. So if just kind of a logical understanding of this verse, if the writer of Hebrews says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, so what does it mean? It means he must be touched. Amen? When we hurt, he hurts. Right? He experiences it. He feels it. He understands it. You know, oftentimes as a believer in Jesus Christ, I don't know if you know this or not, but living a Christian life isn't always easy. Can I get a witness in the building? It isn't always easy. I'd venture to say that very rarely, if we're living for Jesus, is it going to be easy in this life. But understand something. We have a high priest in Jesus Christ the Lord that empathizes with us. We have a high priest in Jesus Christ the Lord that understands, oh, I'm telling you, it's a good word, he understands how we feel. He understands what we experience. If you will, turn to 1 Peter for a moment. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. He has the ability, as an empathetic counselor, he has the ability to understand. If he's a counselor that gives advice, he's a counselor, if you will, that gives counsel, it's good to have somebody that knows what you're going through. Amen? It's good to have somebody that understands. It's good to have somebody that, if you will, has walked in your shoes. And my friend, Jesus Christ, not only did he walk, if you will, in the shoes of humanity, the Bible says, so what's wonderful about our Lord, he didn't sin while he was here. He was yet in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that teaching of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter now is going to write about this empathy of our Lord and how he understands it. He shares it. He understands our experiences and our emotions. verse number 21 of Peter's writing. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ," look at this, "Christ also suffered for us." Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Look at verse 22. "Who did no sin." So Peter now is going to, if you will, just kind of run in the same vein that the writer of Hebrews says. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You ever sin when you're tempted? I have. Perhaps you have. I'm going to speak for you. But the greatness of our Lord, he understands what it means to be tempted. And here's the great news about Jesus. Because he didn't sin when he was tempted, he is able to give us the grace and the mercy, as I'll show you in a moment, to be able to escape the temptation without giving into it. To God be the glory. Amen? To God be the glory tonight. So the Bible tells us, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Verse 22, guile means deceit. "Who when he was reviled," reviled not again, "when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live in the righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." Jesus Christ is this empathetic counselor. He is this compassionate, empathetic counselor our Lord is. When the Bible tells us that he was in all points tempted yet without sin, the Bible tells us that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It means we have a high priest that understands. He's experienced what you've experienced. He knows what you're going through. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you go through valleys and you go through trials in your life, I'm grateful, and I know you're grateful as well, to have a Savior who identifies with you, and he understands it, and he welcomes you to come to him. What a great God we have in Jesus the Lord. Think for a moment what Jesus Christ experienced. Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 53, verse number 3, he said that he is despised, rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. Have you ever experienced any of those experiences in life? Have you ever been despised? Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever, let's bring it in a little more. Have you ever experienced grief? Have you ever had the death of a loved one? Have you ever had the unexpected tragedy of a phone call? Getting a phone call that your loved one has died. Living at my grandmother and grandfather's home for all those years, there were several occasions when the phone would ring in the wee hours of the night. I remember one in particular when I was probably about 10 years of age. I just recently preached the funeral of my cousin's husband, Gary. When I was about 10 years of age, we received a phone call. I think it was around 2 in the morning to inform us that my Uncle Bill was killed in just a horrible car crash. Those kind of calls. Those kind of tragic calls. But you know what? I'm grateful to God to have a Savior in Jesus Christ the Lord that we can come to when grief strikes us. That we can come to when we don't get the news that we really want to hear, but we get the news that shakes us to our being. It shakes us to our core. And it literally, ladies and gentlemen, pushes us to our Savior. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, what do you do when you've reached the proverbial rock bottom? Or what do you do when you don't know what else to do?" I'll tell you what you do. You run to Jesus, man. There's a passage in the New Testament, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can forget about this passage. But the Bible talks about that we as God's children, we can call him Abba, Father. The word Abba literally means daddy. For those of us that have had children, you remember when your kids were real little, and maybe something happened at night, or maybe they woke up and screaming. Oftentimes, many times this would happen, of course they would yell for their mom, but a lot of times they would yell, "Daddy, Daddy." And as a father, what do? Do you just ignore it? They fall down and scrape their knee and they're yelling for you. One time Toby was with his mother, mother-in-law. No. He was with my mother-in-law and she fell, had a bike accident, and Toby was with her. Toby was littler. And I remember walking into the hospital And as I came around the corner, of course, they're like, "What are you? You're not allowed to be in here." So I was like, "Hold it, hold it." And before I could say two words, Toby saw me. He threw his arms up and he come running at me because he knew he wanted to get to his daddy because he didn't know what was going on. He was fearful, but he knew if he could get to me, I would console him. I would comfort him. Ladies and gentlemen, that may be a rather personal illustration, but I hope that illustrates to you, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you can run to Jesus when it gets bad. Amen? I know it's quiet in here, and I hope you're getting this point, but you can run to Jesus with your problems. I've had people over the years say things like, honestly, truly say things like this. "Well, preacher, I let God handle the big things, and I try to handle the little things on my own." I've had people tell me that. Let me just help you with something. You better run to Jesus with the little things. Because you and I do not have in our own the ability to take another breath apart from God's grace and mercy in our lives. So Jesus, ready for this? He wants all of you. He don't want just 50%, 99%. He wants 100% of your life. And I promise you this, if you'll give him 100% of your life, you will not regret it. You will not regret it. So Peter writes, and he says, hey, Jesus Christ, he's our empathetic Savior, our counselor. Jesus knew what it was like to be lonely. Jesus knew what it was like to be disappointed. Jesus knew what it was like to be heartbroken. Jesus knew what it was like to lose somebody you cared for, lose somebody you love. Jesus experienced the sadness and sorrow of what death does to families. Don't misunderstand when the Bible talks about in the book of John, when Jesus got word that Lazarus had died, two of the most humbling and really two of the greatest words in our Bible to give us a sense to the humanity of our Lord. It tells us that Jesus, he wept. You see, yes, he was God, and we shout from the highest that he was God, 100% God. But ladies and gentlemen, it blesses my heart to know that yes, he was God, and he qualified to be my Savior because he was God. But on a personal level, who experiences some of the things that we've talked about tonight, it blesses us to know that he was a man. It blesses us to know that he walked in the shoes that many of you have walked in. He's walked in the shoes of sorrow. He's walked in the shoes of getting bad news. He's walked in the shoes of disappointments. And he's walked in the shoes of these emotions. And he understands it. He's walked in the shoes of being betrayed by somebody that supposedly cared for you. He's walked in the shoes of disappointment. I see many times where people quit on God because a religious leader has disappointed them or let them down. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus never quit. Amen? He went all the way. Judas, one of his own disciples that spent the majority of that 3.5 year period with him, the inner circle, if you will. I know there was Peter, James, and John, but as far as from a multitude, that inner circle of those 12 disciples, and one of those guys stabbed him in the back and betrayed him. Humanly speaking, yes, he's God, 100%. But humanly speaking, do you think it grieved him? Do you think it hurt him? Absolutely it hurt him. You see, a preacher, but he knew it was going to happen. Yeah. You ever had things that you know, and in your heart, you knew, you honestly, not because you're a fortune teller, but you knew because it was predictable what was going to happen, but you still was kind of punched in the stomach when it happened to you. What did it do? You said, preacher, maybe you want to quit. Don't quit. Serve Jesus with every fiber of your being. And honestly, sometimes when things happen that shake us to the core, it's a test of our faith. And but preacher, I don't like when God tests my faith. Well, ladies and gentlemen, understand, I think it was Dr. Warren Wiersbe that said, a faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. So God tests our faith, what, to bring out the worst in us? No. He tests our faith to bring his glory through our lives. so that the world will look at us and they may say something like this, not, wow, how strong of a person they are, but they'll have to look back and say, man, how in the world did they make it through? The only way they made it through that trial was because the God that they served. That's the only way. You know, we celebrate Christmas, and Christmas is a wonderful time, but I honestly, and it's proven even psychologically, that Christmas time and the holiday season is some of the hardest times for people. I have relatives. I have an aunt. And I love her dearly. But during the Christmas season, she doesn't hardly get out of bed. She's so overwhelmed with hurt because of loved ones that have died. You say, well, preacher, if she was a Christian, no way, she is a Christian. She is a born-again believer, and I truly, sincerely believe she is. But she's so hurt because of her dad, and that when I call her, if I called her tomorrow, I know because from over the years, she would begin, we'd start a conversation, and she would take it to where she would want to talk about daddy. Daddy was my granddaddy who raised me. And she'd want to talk about him, and she would want to talk about how she misses him, and she'd want to talk about how she, oh, Tracy, if daddy was here. I have a couple aunts like that. Oh, if daddy was here. And you say, what do? I just try to encourage him. Yeah, he was a great man. Yeah, he loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart. But understand, he's with Jesus, and he wouldn't come back to this earth if he could come back to this earth. He's where he wanted to be. He's with Christ our Lord. And the good news is, as Paul said, when it comes to death of loved ones, he said, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Why? We sorrow, yes. But we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. Well, how do we sorrow? We sorrow as humans. But understand, with Jesus Christ, because they knew Jesus as their Savior, and because I know Jesus as my Savior, I'm going to see him again. Isn't that a good word tonight? Anybody? Absolutely. And that's the difference that Christ makes. So maybe, honestly, maybe during this Christmas season, maybe you have those type of blues, and maybe you have those type of, maybe winter blues, they call it. Maybe it's a difficult time for you. You say, preacher, what do I do? Run to Christ. Run to Jesus Christ. He knows all about it. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like I want to bother him. His children are never a bother. Amen? God's children are never a bother. So he is absolutely an empathetic counselor. But second of all, he's an available counselor. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4, just a couple books now. Verse 16. Hebrews 4:16. He's an available counselor. This verse right here is a phenomenal verse of Scripture. And I'll tell you why it is. Because there's many times, and I often will joke and I'll correct people in love when people say, they'll come and they'll say, preacher, will you pray for me? Sure, how you want me to pray for you? Will you pray that God gives me patience? And I stop them, no, I'm never going to pray that. I will never pray that God gives you patience. Unless I don't like you, okay? Why? Because the Bible says much tribulation worketh patience. So I'm not going to pray for patience, but one thing I will pray for you is this. I'll pray for two things. I'll pray for God's mercy in your life, and I'll pray for God's grace in your life. And the Bible tells us, though, here's the awesome news about this verse. Even though, yes, I will pray for you, the great news is, I'm telling you this is wonderful news, the great news is, if you have Christ as your Savior, you can pray for yourself as well. Look at the text. I'm telling you, that was a good place to say amen right there. Now, you say, why? Well, because keep it in the Jewish perspective. Keep it in the Jewish mind. The Jews, in order to have God's grace shed on you and your sins temporarily dealt with, you had to give a sacrifice to the high priest who would then offer it on the mercy seat of God. So he had to, stay with me, he had to intercede on your behalf. He, as the high priest, was, if you will, stay with me, and I'm going to show you why in a minute, he was the go-between between God and his wrath and you and your sin. So that high priest would be given the sacrifice. He would offer it on the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat of God, the Holy of Holies. He would go through the Holy of Holies. He would offer it on the mercy seat of God year after year after year after year to the Jewish mind. Now, remember what the writers just said? Oh, we have a high priest that's gone into the heavens. In case you wonder who it is, he says, it's Jesus Christ, the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, as a result of him, as our high priest going into the heavens, look what he says we can do now. Verse 16. He's an available counselor. Let us therefore, very simple Bible class, anytime you come to the words wherefore, therefore in your Bible, it literally has flipped us back to what previously has been stated. Because we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because we have a high priest that's not on this earth in bodily form, he's back at the right hand of God the Father, John's going to establish in 1 John, because we have a high priest, let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne. Look at this, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy is simply God not giving us what we deserve. What did we deserve, Bible students? We deserved hell. What did we deserve? We deserve God's judgment. That's what we deserved. But Paul says, let us come boldly, the writer says, let us come boldly, literally confidently, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. May obtain God not giving us what we deserve. He's not going to give us judgment. Let's come to his throne so we can get what we do not deserve and find grace. What's grace? God giving us what we do not deserve. So you say, preach it that way, man. You just totally confused me. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. What do we deserve? Judgment. What do we deserve? Hell. What do we deserve? Eternal punishment in the lake of fire. That's what we deserved. Why? Because we're sinners. Amen? Right? Say something. Absolutely. We're sinners. We deserve. But through mercy, God, he not giving us what we deserve, grace, he gives us what we do not deserve. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but stay with me for a moment. Mercy, because of mercy, we're not consumed. Because of mercy, we're not going to hell when we die. Amen? Because of mercy, he didn't leave us to ourselves. Because of mercy. But now because of grace, I'm a joint heir with Jesus, man. Because of grace, Brother Tommy, my sins, all of my sins, have been forgiven through the shed blood, death, throne, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, because of grace, Brother Andy, I'm born again. Because of grace, I'm saved. Because of grace, Jesus Christ the Lord died for me. Oh, I deserved to die on that cross, and so did you. But you remember one of the thieves on the cross said, Lord, remember me. Now comest into thy kingdom. What had he said before that? To the other thief who was screaming and hollering and cussing, no doubt. To the other thief, he said to him, hey man, this man's done nothing amiss. We've gotten what we deserve. So he turns to the Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Because of grace. So the writer says, stay with me. The writer says, let us come boldly, confidently unto the throne of grace. Why? Because we have a high priest that's gone into the heavens. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, let us come boldly. Why, writer? Because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. He was in all points tempted like as we are. He identifies with us as human beings. You see, the sad reality, and John's going to say it in a minute, The sad reality is when we try to act like we're okay when we know we're not okay. That's why John, writing to believers, said, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. But John also said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John understood a little bit about this as a believer in Jesus. So he says, let us come boldly. What is your struggles tonight? Let me ask you this question. Do you need some counsel? By definition, do you need some advice tonight? Or do you have all the answers already? Foolish is the person that thinks they have all the answers. Foolish is the person. Wise is the individual that understands, oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Wise is the person that understands it's the mercy of God that's been bestowed upon my life because of the high priest that I have in Jesus that's at the right hand of God the Father. So during this Christmas season, when it gets maybe a little blue, when it gets a little down, when it gets a little tough, when life gets hard, and the thing, it doesn't even have to be Christmas. January's coming, and so is the credit card bill, right? That's why don't do that. But anyway, February, March, we can go through every month. If it gets difficult, run to Jesus Christ, man. He's a prayer away. You say, how do you run to him, preacher? You just humbly bow before him and talk to him. The writer of Hebrews says, let us come boldly. To the Jewish mind, stay with us for a minute. To the Jewish mind, I didn't finish the sermon, but that's okay. To the Jewish mind, he's just said, literally, he's just made statements that to a Pharisee would have upset them extremely. We have a high priest. Sure we do. They do their service. No. He's not earthly. He's heavenly. Oh, by the way, his name is Jesus. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He ever liveth to make intercession for us, John says. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. Oh, I told you the definition of counselor was one who gives counsel or advice. But the second definition is also that of an attorney who represents you in a court of law. In God's courtroom tonight, ladies and gentlemen, stands our attorney. Stands our Savior who represents us in God's courtroom. When the accuser accuses us and says, see, right there is your child. They've just sinned. What are you going to do about their sin? Our attorney, if you will, stands forth and says, Father God, what sin? That sin was cast as far as the east is from the west. What does God declare? On the authority and on the basis of that, that biblical foundational truth, redemption. I have no ability to charge that person with that crime. Ladies and gentlemen, we owe Jesus a lot. Run to him. Serve him. Do you need advice tonight? See, I'm a preacher, but I don't trust man. That's okay. It is what it is. You can trust Jesus. Run to him. Run to his word. Run to his Bible. Run to him in prayer. See, preacher, I didn't realize, but man, there's a lot of things I'm struggling with right now, and I need God's advice on it. Go to him. Talk to him if you're his child. If you're not saved, sweet friend, the first thing you need to do is humbly acknowledge that you're a sinner before him. Ask God to forgive you of that. Believe by faith the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ the Lord, calling upon Jesus and Jesus alone. He'll save you. He'll forgive you of your sins. Then you can experience the blessing of coming boldly into the throne of grace to obtain that we might, remember what he said, that we may obtain mercy. You ever need mercy? Amen. And that we may find grace. Where is it? It's at his throne. Amen.
It's at Jesus. It's at the right hand of God the Father. It's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Stand with me, please, for him invitation. Brother Brian's going to come. He's going to lead us. Maybe tonight we talked about prayer. Maybe tonight you would just like to come to the altar and pray. Honestly, sincerely, before God, just coming and praying and seeking God's will for your life. Do you need advice tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, he's a compassionate counselor. Christ, our compassionate counselor. He's a competent counselor. He's a qualified counselor. We'll look at that next Wednesday night. He's a reliable counselor. There's a lot of people that like to give advice, but they're not qualified to do so. But Jesus Christ is qualified. Why? Because he's walked in the shoes you're walking in. He walked as a human being. He understands our sorrows. He was acquainted with grief.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harrell's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.